This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We're driving down. I'm just going to go ahead and say right away, today Jake Wiseman's on the show, but not yet. We're going to his house.
That's right. We're on route.
Yes, we're on route. We're using
or route.
Well, yeah, it depends on if you grew up in one of those towns that where it said Chape.
Right.
Like a French town. In Missoula, Montana, we had the Medicine Chape, so I was...
We had that in Petaluma, too. That was a franchise.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, darn it. I thought it was something I never went in there, but I assumed he had a beret and
I was gonna
wrote
say,
prescriptions.
Did you not go in there because you weren't fluent?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I visited Montreal, but I didn't pick up enough.
S'il vous plaît, can I have some aspirin?
Oh, I just learned things you say in the strip club. You've been to strip clubs in Montreal, right?
I woke up 5 minutes before these guys arrived at my house because we're doing this oddly in the morning.
Yeah.
so that we could fit Jake Wiseman in because we wanted him to be on the show.
Plus, I like the challenge. You know, I have a brain that doesn't start till 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
I like to light a fire under my ass.
Let's see.
You know, if it was after 5 p.m., I probably wouldn't have opened up with that strip club character. We would have missed out on that shocking reveal.
That amazing.
Chad Daniels is a very good comedian. He and I went to some Eyes Wide Shut clown party. Did I tell you about that?
I don't know.
It was these trapeze artist clowns, and they invited us to a party, and they picked his pocket while we were dancing
yes.
with them, and then
yeah,
bought us drinks. I've told every story. I'm dry.
Yeah, it's good. You start over. Make new memories.
Yes. It's time to start living life.
Yeah, really get out there. Really get those anecdotes going around the neighborhood.
What if we, or anecdotes, because I've poisoned everybody.
And you can choose who to save.
Yeah.
You run around giving anecdotes.
Oh, God. Wouldn't that's freedom.
Yeah.
Just being in control.
That's
over
freedom
everyone.
Over others' lives.
Yeah, especially your neighbors. Don't get me started on mine. I'm actually going to have the same neighbors. I'm moving.
Yeah.
In 40 feet away, I get to hand move.
Oh, you're moving just to a different apartment
yes.
in the same complex?
Yes.
That's nice.
By my lonesome.
That's very convenient.
I'm going to have an office.
Great.
I have to start doing office things.
That's great. You better get a tie and a short-sleeved white button-down shirt.
File cabinet, secretary. That gives me a little guff.
You're getting a secretary?
I think it's time that I get a secretary.
This is Stephen Ray Moore snorting in the back seat. How
hey,
are
Stephen.
You?
That's the loudest I've ever heard.
You're more bearded than you usually are, Stephen.
I'm just keeping, it's my winter pelt, and I'm super excited to embrace the winter in LA.
It's very fluffy.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I've been fluffing it out. You
That's
know.
Good. You look like you should be in my morning jacket.
Oh my gosh.
You look like you should be in my pajama pocket. Like a cute little mouse.
What a lovely compliment.
Steven, wake up. And his hands are on my pocket like a little blanket.
There
he
is.
Oh, my God. There's a fan of our podcast that her handle is Chelsea Makes. Mm-hmm. And she sent me a tiny dining room set that I get to assemble and polish. Or I'm going to sand it and stain it and shellac it and make it look like a real damn piece of furniture.
That's
I'm very
amazing.
Excited. It's a kit. And it came like with instructions and everything.
You know what? We need a P.O. box so that people can send us other stuff.
Do you, on My Favorite Murder, talk about your enjoyment of mini worlds?
Yes. Georgia is obsessed.
Okay. I am too. That's something her and I share.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And who made that My Favorite Murder room?
Oh, these two women.
It's unbelievable.
In San Diego. I wish I had their names offhand. Steven is pulling up their names. This is the beauty of the crossover Steven.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
School teachers.
Yes.
So, Lynn. And Kristen.
Lynn and Kristen made them for us. And basically, for those of you listening to Do You Need a Ride that don't know about this, they basically put a miniature version of George's pod loft where we record the other podcast.
It's
in like a fish tank, but it's all to scale exactly the way the room looks based on things we've talked about.
A diorama, I believe.
Yes,
it's
yeah.
Called.
Yes. Right. It's amazing.
I did one in a shoebox with Zeeblies. He was a Zeebly from New Zealand.
Oh.
New Zeebland. Sorry. Do you remember Zeeblies?
I think I'm too old.
They're little furry balls with little adhesive feet. You got
oh, yes.
And little antennae.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And little googly eyes.
I didn't know they had names.
At Paxson Elementary, they would hide them throughout the school. And it was, I remember every day being excited to find them. It was just a little detail that my school did.
That's so cute.
Other than give us poison and make sure we didn't get cavities.
Right.
And it was really cute. And then I did a little guy on a porch once. I've always been, so it was like little front steps and a little handrail and he's sitting there and he had a cane and a little Irish hat. Even I didn't do any research on New Zealand. I just assumed it was part of Ireland.
Okay.
And he was green. I really, you know, I'm not saying I was a smart kid, but I zoomed in on the MFM. Do you ever do that? Call it MFM?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And it's the details, because I was looking for a Do You Need a Ride reference. It's okay that there wasn't one. I'm okay with that.
Little, yeah, I try to keep those worlds.
There's a little percast.
I try to keep them separate because
yes.
Of the war, gang wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Turf
well,
wars.
You know, I think we all learned from what happened to Tupac.
Well, but now all these worlds have collided.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
the Exactly Right Network.
And we both are West Coast podcasts.
That's right. We don't have any real beef with each other.
No.
We've got to come together to fight the East Coast.
How exciting. I'll just talk about your other podcast. Was it to have Conan on? Was that?
It was amazing.
Yeah, he seems like he's really terrific.
And I had no idea he is a huge true crime fan. So he had started his own podcast. He's on Earwolf, which is the same, like...
Sure.
Company as ours network, so
I didn't know that. Listen to that, and I listened to Mike Tyson on Joe Rogan's podcast. Which, if Joe Rogan wasn't around, I think I'd be one of the only alpha males in podcasting. you know how I am, gruff. I talk about strip clubs.
Yeah, this fucking dude shit.
Take pictures of my meat.
Yeah, what?
He takes a lot of pictures of organic beef and
paleo
things.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Paleo's good.
I've learned a little bit about health stuff
from his
Instagram.
He's very fit.
But I taped a special in Portland, and a lot of Murderinos and Dinarinos came. Dinarinos?
Let's not call them Dinarinos.
No. Just because of the lawsuits. Listen, I know.
Yeah, there's so much trademarking.
I didn't even know about our rivalry. Now that lawyers are involved...
It's over.
But it went well. I was only afraid I would mess it up, and I don't think I messed it up.
No, from what I hear, my Portland people on the ground, that you not only didn't mess it up, it was amazing.
Were they the ones on the balcony with walkie-talkies?
Yes.
And
talking into their cuffs about how the Eagle had done his first set?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I had all my people in place.
Well, they did a great job at laughing while working.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it was very fun. It's so green. It's been raining in Los Angeles for days now.
Yes, I love it.
It is.
How do you feel about it?
Speaking in an Irish accent and cutting open soap and smelling it. Oh, look at those dogs.
Hi, doggies.
They're two different dogs completely, but they're friends.
Yes.
One is small and one is overweight. Oh, dogs. We're going to take a left. In two more blocks.
Okay.
So where that suspicious man is spitting on a hydrant. Nope, actually past him.
Okay.
We'll just wait here.
Yeah.
Keep those hazards on. It's like a, what's that called? A metrodome?
Metronome?
Metronome. What's a metrodome?
You made it up.
That's just a city facility where they have fights. Tonight at the Metro Dome.
Mike Tyson. Oh, look at her. She's dressed like a ballerina.
And she almost balleted right under the hood of that car. I'm not into boxing, necessarily.
Well, you know what's funny? It's from a distance, boxing just seems like two people beating each other up. And then when you know the combinations, you know what they're doing, or at least what they're trying to do, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
The difference is huge when you do know and don't know.
Well, I've learned to appreciate boxing now that MMA, now that that is a bigger sport and everyone, it's just a lot of holding people down, a lot of judo. It's like, who wants to watch?
Oh, an MMA?
5 minutes of this guy's arm being compromised while another man's balls are on his face.
Well, I honestly think that's part of it. I think that MMA, there is a homoerotic aspect that's very permissive. People can watch that. And it's just like, they just kind of want to watch two guys hug real strong.
Sure.
And that's fine.
And I've talked about Tank Abbott and his arousals while fighting.
Yes,
so I'm not
going to
talk about it again. I only have 50 stories.
That's
and how many episodes are we into here?
Oh, we've got at least 400.
Yeah. So there we go. That's why I've told everything 8 times. And that is some quick math. And then one of those boxer guys killed himself. I'm really... Sometimes I'm just proving that I remember things and then it's kind of a bummer, so I'm sorry. And also, the guy that I watched the surgery before my hip surgery, that victim of my doctor, he died of a brain aneurysm.
Oh, no.
And all the time I'm worried that it's a little piece of hip metal or a bubble from his hip going to his brain or something.
I don't
have more to worry about.
Please take that off the list.
I will.
You have plenty of things to nail down before you get into brain aneurysms. Because
the
thing, brain aneurysms, they just happen and it's over. You're dead.
Yeah.
So that's going to hit you. That's like worrying about being hit by a bus. If it's going to happen, you won't be able to do anything anyway.
Exactly.
So take it off the list.
It is.
And get real into my thing, which is not going to the doctor, because I'm convinced now that my life finally has come together that they're going to be like, now you have full body cancer.
Oh, that's
I'm just
the worst
positive
kind.
Because it's that, right? Mm-hmm. Head to toe.
I have head, shoulders, knees, and toe cancer.
Eyes,
knees and toes?
Ears, mouth, and nose.
Oh, I have cancer on my neck. My back, my beep, and my crack. Oh.
To the windows, to the walls.
I have cancer from my windows to my walls. All you doctors sell.
I have cancer dripping down my balls, which is the worst kind.
It's just the outward liquidy of cancer.
Ugh, you can't shower it off.
Yeah, I know. It's like oil. It just, the water bounces off of it.
It's bad. It's cancer repellent balls are the worst kind.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride?
Welcome to the X-rated Do You Need a Ride?
Yeah.
God forbid some mother who drives carpool is like, these guys are fun and funny. These are the ones kids can listen to.
Oh, yeah. And they're just, everyone in the car is a pacifier and they're learning so much about life.
Everyone in the car. Well, you know what's funny? I was watching. I woke up in the middle of the night, as I was telling you guys. So I got a screener for the movie The Favorite.
Uh-huh.
And I put it on. And so many of my friends had told me, I couldn't stop laughing, because all my friends had told me they went to this movie thinking it was about, like, historical fiction or about this old queen.
Uh-huh.
And it's really about how this queen had a couple of lesbian lovers. So they're like, there was so much lesbian sex, or, you know, there was so much sex that they didn't expect.
We are in street. I like to keep it sinister and without any details.
And surreal. Yeah. We're in the street.
Will you finish your story?
I don't even know why I started telling it, except for that it was, oh, it was the kind of movie people think it's a parents movie. Because it seems like it's historical.
Right.
But it's actually a movie about, like, three women who are all trying to have sex with each other. And no one saw it coming. So I had a couple different friends who were like, yeah, you're just sitting there while... And you think it's, like, a you know, the story about this queen that's all crazy. But it's actually, like, everyone's trying to get into each other's beds. They're like, it was so uncomfortable.
Is it good, though?
I love it. It's amazing. And it's... It's Olivia Colman, who's from, Broadchurch. She's a British actress. Did you watch Peep Show?
Oh, yeah. I love Peep Show.
So, you know the main girlfriend that's around the longest, and she kind of has really big eyes and big teeth?
Yeah,
that's her.
It's
Olivia Colman. And she kind of speaks quietly like this. She plays the queen, and then Emma Stone plays...
Emma Stone, that's right.
One person, and Rachel Weisz plays
really
the other.
It looks really funny.
There's really
moments
good.
From it. The person that made that movie, what else have they made?
The Lobster.
Oh, yes.
Oh, hello.
Hey. It's so funny.
Hi.
Jake Wiseman, everyone.
Jake Wiseman.
How are you, buddy? I'm good, and I came bearing gifts for various reasons.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So for Steven, I have his sunglasses. They were at my house. I'm not going to tell anyone why.
That's private.
Good to see you guys.
Karen, good to see you.
In a long time.
I know. Hi, friend.
Thanks for bringing me up. And also, I brought pastries. Here's why. Because I felt it would induce guilt either way. Because I felt if you have them, you'll feel guilty. And if you don't, you feel guilty for wasting them. So
yes.
It's a double gift then.
Are they from the Tropicale?
Yeah, Cafe Tropicale.
We just drove by that place and I wanted to cry because I want their coffee so bad.
Can I peek? I'm going
to
peek.
Yeah, get in. No, you can have... I want you to... ideally, you'd have them now.
Well, a lot of
while
people...
While we drive?
People get mad.
I love it.
People get mad when we make smacking sounds.
Yeah.
But anger is good. It's an emotion.
Apparently.
And it's good to express whatever
that
you've
looks
got
good.
Going on.
Ooh,
so there's a banana bread, chocolate, croissant, macaroon, and a guava empanada. Steven can also have them if you wants them. It's just for everyone.
You're the best. What a thoughtful
You're definitely
gift.
The number one guest
well,
of all time.
Again, I just want to say that it wasn't altruistic. I thought maybe you'd feel guilty, and mm-hmm. I thought it could induce that. But
okay.
Yes, I wanted you to feel good as well.
I feel all kinds of negative emotions.
Cafe Tropicale is so this fun looks- because it's like there's always meetings.
Yes.
Like next door.
Yes.
So it's all sorts of addicts, and you can always overhear their stories in Cafe Tropicale.
Yeah.
Just about like the problems they have, and they're all having like the most amount of intense conversations happen in Cafe Tropicale ever. Like
yes.
Every conversation is very intense.
Yes.
And they're all just really expressing themselves and their eyes are wide and I love it.
Or there's people that are writing like it's their last chance before they move away from Los Angeles.
I always feel like when I'm in Cafe Tropicale writing a screenplay, I look around at everyone and I'm gonna be like, I'm the one who's gonna make it though. Like there's like so many different screenplays, but I wanna be the one who does it.
I'm gonna be the one that makes it to the top.
Yeah.
I like that with their coffee, when you order coffee there, they put milk in it automatically. You
yes.
don't get a choice.
Yes.
I love any kind of thing where it's like, you just back up. We're going to take care of it.
Yeah, there's no such thing as not drinking dairy or eating dairy.
They do. No. They added soy and almond now.
Oh,
so
did
it's
they?
Kind of nice. Because I actually became lactose intolerant last year.
At the Cafe Tropicale.
At the Cafe Tropicale is where it happened. My stomach started exploding. So now, that's the annoying thing about lactose intolerance is you just, by necessity, are more annoying now.
Yes.
Like, you just literally are the most annoying human alive.
Because you have to talk about
it. Yeah, every restaurant I go to, do you cook that with butter?
Yeah.
And it's like, who the fuck am I? Someone who doesn't want to be in pain.
Do they have pills like Beano for farting for lactose intolerance that helps you?
Yeah, Lactaid. Though I get
Lactaid.
Nervous, though. I don't want to test it because it doesn't work on everyone. And and I just hate pain so much.
Yeah.
And so I just try to avoid it at all costs. Like, I'll stop doing something if I feel any pain. So I'll just, like, milk
that's
is
good.
Like, okay, I will never try that again, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I had a flare-up, I guess it's called, when you're doing extra terribly, and it helped me a lot to not eat dairy and sugar and all those things.
The term flare-up is so visual.
Yeah, it really is. But visually, I look the same. It was just my face was unhappy. You're no stranger to pain, though.
No, we've talked about pain together.
Yeah, yeah.
How is your hip?
My hip feels terrific.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it a real hip anymore, or do you have a fake hip
It now? Looks like a golf club.
But and it works like a golf club.
It is still my bone. They didn't cut my bone. There's just a little helmet on it.
What can't you do?
Certain yoga poses quickly.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you can't do fast yoga anymore?
No. Oh, I love fast cold yoga.
Fast freezing yoga.
Yeah, speed cold yoga by my house. It's the new, they do not want you to be warm. They do not want,
it's all pulled muscles in there.
Everyone's cramping, everyone's screaming.
Do you guys find, are you able, because something I think about all the time, I've been talking about this a lot lately, is that Danielle?
It is Danielle.
It's Danielle Kramer.
Hey.
Danielle Kramer.
Hey.
She has to know.
Danielle!
We're podcasting!
Hey, Danielle!
We're currently podcasting!
She's like, I don't care. Yeah. Chris just yelled, we're podcasting across Silver Lake.
Oh, that's gonna start.
It's funny because there are certain places you drive on the east side of LA or like. Where you are guaranteed to run into someone you know. Like Mustard Seed Cafe, if you go there, you will have a conversation you don't want to have. If you walk down Hillhurst, you will run into someone. There's just certain places you can be sure of.
Yes, that's very true.
But Danielle's a good person,
she's
always
the
like
greatest.
Running into her.
She's the opposite of a gang neighborhood.
You know, she's running our network.
I know.
I just saw
her the other day, and she told me that, and now full circle. It almost seems planned.
Well, I called and said, are you busy around 10:47?
Can you streak across Sunset?
Please, for Jake, for his comfort.
We like all of our name droppings to be organic. And if you aren't there, it's going to seem set up.
Do you, this is a weird question, but can you write off gas because you're at work right now, Karen?
Oh.
Yes.
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 Do you do
it? Exciting.
I do mileage.
Oh, well,
and it's
great.
Half of my driving, and probably more, actually.
Whoa.
Is because of, you know, going to
comedy
this part of town from the beach to go to do a 7-minute set for no money. So damn right I'm getting like
money. Oh, hell yeah. Look at, there's your billboard right there.
Oh my God.
Yay.
Corporate.
That is so
corporate.
Upsetting.
Sorry.
Corporate.
Sorry you're hired.
I love that. I always was a fan of Sorry We're Open. I've always been.
You just like apologies.
Yes, I like apologies.
The other day I was with Matt Ingebretson, who is Do You Need a Ride?
Alum.
Yeah. He is, yes.
And Pat Bishop, the other creator of Corporate, and we were walking, we wanted to get a picture of the billboard, us under the billboard, just to document it, because it's so crazy that we are able to have it's such a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah.
So we were walking on Hollywood Boulevard in Los Feliz. Although I know Matt had trouble pronouncing it.
Sure,
that's what I have trouble
it's
with.
Is pronouncing it.
Yeah, but it's a lot of things. You know what I mean? It's just meant to. You know what? It's meant to get you in trouble. That's what it is.
You're
the
right.
Pronunciation.
You're right.
So, there's this couple walking, and I said to them, "Hey, can you guys take our picture? We're like on that billboard, and if you could take a picture of us, that would be great." And that can only happen in LA and New York. That is the most LA bullshit ever. It's like, my face is up there, and if you could take a picture of me in front of it. And I felt bad, but I kind of felt good.
No,
but the LA, the even more LA thing is for them to respond with, "Oh, yeah, whatever."
Yeah, it's like, and so are we. Yeah, we're the one next to you.
My
yeah.
husband's your
My name's Aparna.
Yeah.
How are you guys? Are you guys happy?
I'm great.
Yeah, good, real good.
I've been very happy lately.
Why?
I don't know if it's got, the rain has been helping. Everything's green. I don't understand these people that jump off the Space Needle because it's wet out.
What? So the rain and the dreariness helps you?
Yes, I've been indoors. I haven't had to interact. I've spent a lot of quality alone time, and it turns out I like myself all right.
Hey!
Oh yeah. Wow! Is that like a new revelation?
It sort of is that because we're kind of trained to think that being alone all the time is a bad thing and you should be sad. But I've been enjoying my apartment, and it's wet out, and there's no pressure to go do anything or be. And don't get me wrong, I've been.
How often do you
getting
guys
getting groceries or going to do comedy?
I think about that all the time. How often do you guys actually want to go do something?
Never.
Anymore?
That was
Ever.
My favorite I watched. I went to the screening of new corporate episodes from the current season, which started on the 15th. And there's an episode about that, and it was my favorite. The pressure to go out at night. I really don't want to anymore.
It's weird.
Sometimes
it's,
I do.
Because there's this whole world of things to do, I guess. But then you're like, but it isn't that good. Like, I just can't, like, what is good?
You know what's weird? I've been thinking about this a lot lately.
What is good?
What is good? Right, because everything changes as you get older, especially living in Los Angeles. For me, having been here for so long, what I see now is the reason people get married in their, like, and down here it's usually late 30s or 40s or whatever at the latest. The reason that happens and you kind of like nest up is because it stops being good. Because most, you can't like drink heavily for 20 years without some impact. Like, you can't just keep on going out and getting fucked up and having that be fine. Like, that's great in your 20s, fine in your 30s.
Right.
But when you're in your 40s, it starts to bottom out.
No, I drink at home. Don't get me wrong.
Well, drink all you want. My point is that staying at home starts to become the good thing.
Sure.
And then going out starts to become the bummer. And it basically, everything goes mirror image. And it's just like, I think it's just the effect of aging.
Yeah, there's that broad picture that I'm sort of confronted by, but it's true. But then there's also just like, there's no parking.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
It's logistics.
Like, it's just sort of like, I have a bad bladder. Like, so like just it, like when I go to a place, when I go do anything, my first thought is, where's the bathroom? Like, where's the bathroom? And is the seat I have close to the bathroom? Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to worry about that at home. Like, that's just like a thing. And then parking's a nightmare. And just sort of like what I don't like about going out, I think, is when I go somewhere, I don't like the moment where I'm done before the rest of the audience. Like, I'm like, oh, I feel bad about myself that I want to leave. Like, I don't like knowing that I'm lame. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm home, I'm just like being reasonable or pretending to save money or reading, you know, but it's like, then if I go out and I say like, oh, I want to go home, then I'm like the negative person. You know what I mean? Like, and I would prefer to live in the dark about how bad a person I am. You know what right. I mean? It's just much better to not know.
Right.
Well, and also it's because like that idea that we're all supposed to have the same preferences is very strange.
I know.
It's just like it took me years and years to finally realize I don't like going out. I actually don't. I was just an alcoholic before.
Right.
That also liked to dabble in drugs. And that kind of was fun. But especially the older yet, and like when the group changes and people get younger and you're still old, that's like the last party I went to, I was just like, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah, because also I feel like when I talk to younger people than me, I'm 35, so I'm not explicitly young, I'm not super old or super young, I feel like. I feel like I'm like an adult, I guess, you know? But I feel like when I talk to younger people than me, anyone younger than me, anything they say is a reminder of how stupid I was like 10 minutes before.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I was that and I hate seeing that. And
look at that.
Oh, is this Joe Biden in town?
Well, they have little ledges on that unmarked, that was SUV. A caravan. What is that? I forget what it's called.
Is Joey like, is he raising
Joey?
Money?
You call him Joey?
Of course, Joey.
That was my guess. But what, is that sidestep thing indicative of something?
Yeah, for people, I think it's so they can smash through cars.
For real?
It's a ledge for Secret Service guys to perch on.
Well, let's follow that SUV.
Both of those could be wrong.
Let's get into that caravan.
That was very exciting.
I think being in the Secret Service is just, you don't get to tell anyone the secrets, and that sucks.
You have to hold on to them.
Like, why would you want... I don't think anyone's good at keeping secrets, because it's not fun. You know what I mean? It's super fun to tell secrets.
Yeah.
And to have a job where you have to, like, pretend to respect who you're guarding, and then... And if you say anything, you're put in jail. I think that's how it works.
Yeah, but I think so. Even if it's on a podcast. I'll continue.
You have to jog in hard shoes.
Oh, that's another good point.
There's so much running with like for a fully suited man.
Are you sure they don't?
It's so uncomfortable.
Because it suddenly is. You have to suddenly run.
You have to
not always jogging through a park.
No. Yeah. Suddenly you have to like bust out and chase people or run away.
Probably Secret Service now feel a little more relaxed and they don't have the get up and go that they used to.
I hope so.
That yeah. makes me think, remember something that I think about a lot, which is that I think success is being able to wear whatever you want.
Yes.
Like literally whenever you want to. Like if you, because you podcast a lot, you could do it in your pajamas.
Right.
So that is successful. You don't have to wear anything.
That's
well, there's
right.
a lot of guys in Venice living on the beach that are successful.
Yes, exactly.
I saw a guy, he used to be an old neighbor, but now he just has seaweed wrapped around his head and his bicycle.
No.
And it's a bike that doesn't have tires, it's just rims. And he walks around with his seaweed head and his seaweed bike. And he used to have two leopard painted limousines.
What?
Now he's screaming at parking meters with seaweed on his
what
head.
What happened in between those two things?
Success.
Success with meth is what you're talking about.
Yeah, he very much.
He successfully smoked a shit ton of meth.
My roommate used to play pickup basketball with him at the White Men Can't Jump courts. and now he is a full-fledged, potentially violent, he's a scary person. And he's big. He's one of these guys that lives on the streets but somehow is able to work out all the time. I don't know.
Oh, why? Yeah, people who are just shredded from life.
I don't get it.
It's like, God, I don't have that job or I don't have that life.
Everything he sees, he's like a pull-up bar.
Yeah.
Like he's using the space around him correctly.
Yeah. Every day is a rocky workout in a barn. Oh, this hay bale is a perfect place to stick my toes under and do some crunches.
Now, guys, would either of you ever live in this part of downtown? Right now we're in the downtown Los Angeles area that I think they like to call the Arts District, which I believe is a bit generous. But
yeah,
it's definitely generous.
It's
yeah.
just a shorter...
Arts districts are just where no one else wants to live. Like, where
right.
you can live to be an artist with eight other artists in, like, a warehouse, right?
Yes. Yeah, in searching... Right, and I looked at a place like that, and it was kind of cool to think, oh, man, everyone would be creating sculptures for Burning Man. My neighbor... You know, look, a trapeze artist in the window. But and then parking, too. But if you walk outside the encampment, it's just bullet holes.
Yeah.
And danger.
A lot of danger.
And a lot of ripped
So you guys would move
people.
Down here?
I looked at a place. I was thinking about it.
I'd move down here just so I could win a contest at the Moth. You know what I mean? Just to be like, yeah, yeah. I live in the Arts District, and let me tell you what I saw.
Well, you better have stories about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I lived in Chinatown, and it was okay. Like, it was just kind of like, it was fine. Like, there was nothing bad or good about it, really.
Yeah.
It was just a place to live. I'm not really sure what I want in a place to live. I feel like the older I get, the more I want to just live away from everyone. like I want to live away from everyone, but then I want to have all the convenience stores I need, and only I can buy stuff out of it.
I highly recommend Burbank.
Burbank's
what's happening.
It just seems inevitable. And that is one of the true joys of getting older, is just being like, realizing Burbank is what you want. Like,
yeah.
That is just like, oh, I guess that is what is good.
And
it's just the most
to.
Boring milquetoast place.
Yes, very quiet.
With a tiny, stress-free airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that airport is, I feel like too many podcasters are calling out how great that airport is, because too many people are just going to fly in there just to see how great it is.
Yeah.
It's like such a wonderful experience.
It really is.
Oh.
And most of the time, the flying I'm doing these days is always out of LAX. So in the rare times where it is out of Burbank, I want to cry. And the last
it's
time it was, I was late and I missed my flight because I live 10 minutes from
right,
the airport.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I'm fine. I just kept blow drying my hair. Like, I was doing something I did not need to be doing because I was like, I'm fine. And then, of course, Alaska, they shut the doors 40 minutes before takeoff.
Oh, I've...
Those
I've,
Christian
I've,
assholes.
I've been a victim of that before.
I didn't know.
I blame the whole state.
Of wait, Alaska.
Wait, Alaska, yeah. Did they pair with Virgin or JetBlue or something
Virgin,
like that?
Virgin, I believe.
And are they super religious?
Alaskan Airlines was like In-N-Out, where they had the John 3:16 quote on their napkins when they used to give out cocktails.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were full on like, we're an actively Christian organization.
What is that? What is that? Which one is that?
3:16? John 3:16 is, he is the light, the...
It's just about napkins. Yeah, it's like literally like, yeah, you just use a napkin.
Rub and, this on your face.
Yeah, it's really, it's the Bible is so detailed.
Yeah. It helps me live.
It's like, yeah, I wouldn't use a napkin if they didn't say it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cleanliness tips in the Bible.
That's right.
Sometimes I forget, and I don't want to be too incendiary here, but I'm not religious at all, and I don't think you guys are either.
No, and so, I don't think other people should be.
Right, of course, of course. And we all think that because we're liberal heathens. But sometimes I forget when I meet people that the way they're interpreting a situation is because they're like, Christ is telling me to do stuff and I should be good. And
right.
Like, they're interacting with me and they're like, this is part of the Christian experience.
Yes.
Interacting with this Jewish man. And he's theoretically more important than I am, but I also need to save him. Like, I forget that that's what's happening in our interaction because I'm like, did you see the game? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, the game of life or something. I don't, it's just like, I forget that like so many people live in a world where there's a Lord.
Yes.
And it's like they're really stressed about it. Like they really got to impress that guy.
Because there's so many tasks in that world where it's like convert others.
Right.
You know, make them know the word of the Lord, make them see the value of Jesus or whatever. Where it's just like, how about take a break?
Yeah.
How about just live your life and be good with it and let other people do their thing?
Sure, but obviously. But also it's just stressful to me. It's like I'm just sort of trying to eat every day, nothing too bad. You know what I mean? Not get a stomach ache.
Try
to do my planks because my back is fucked up.
Sure.
And like, that's about it. But then a lot of people are just like, oh man, the world is really fucked up and I gotta do my part. And I'm like, I don't need to do my part. In fact, I think your
part is that billboard. You've done your part.
That's true.
Yeah.
People pass that billboard and go, oh, I do hate my job too. Yay.
We can get so much mileage off the, we make a living making other people happy that we don't have to be
religious. That is true.
Yeah.
We never have to face anything.
I fall back on that all the time.
But I honestly think that I've watched your show a couple times and thought, I bet you there are people who got sucked into the corporate, on the corporate track.
Oh, yeah.
And thought that was what they wanted, how it was supposed to be, and that they were like on their way and they're fucking miserable and they feel like they're dying. And then this show comes on and goes like, we're miserable and we're dying. And this, like,
right.
I honestly believe there are people that love that show because they're like, thank God someone's saying I can feel this way and I'm not crazy.
So surprise, you might not think you're religious, but you're helping people.
You are the Christ.
Way. Well, you are the religious.
It is interesting because
and the light.
I was thinking about like one of the, I don't know if there's a specific purpose of comedy or art, but I think I've noticed it on Instagram. It allowed me to realize something, that what people really want when they see something, they hear a podcast or they see an Instagram or a show, they just want to tag someone and go, me. They want to be like, this is me.
Yes.
They just want to feel seen.
Right.
And I feel like that's the whole game is just so you can articulate other people's pain. So they're like, I'm not the only one in pain, so I'm okay.
I'm not crazy for feeling pain.
Right.
Yep. Everybody's pretending that they're perfect and great, actually they're in pain, and so am I.
Isn't that a weird thing? Do you guys ever get to, I mean, Chris, your comedy is like seemingly fairly lighter, like on stage, because it's so silly, but I feel like both of you obviously have a darkness. I mean, I know you do.
Sure.
But like, do you ever get called, do you ever get accused of too much darkness, or like in conversation or in your comedy or in general? Like, have people ever accused you of that? Because that happens to me a lot, and I don't agree, kind of.
Yeah, no, I just, because I'm talking about it, I am confronted by it, and I feel like people are thinking that, but no, I don't. People don't actually say that. I just put that on myself, that I'm scaring good people.
What about you, Karen? Because I know you talk about murder, so I'm curious what people think.
I've always been, but that's been going on for a long time, and so I learned early. I was always called weird growing up.
Yeah.
I was always called like dark and weird.
I hated that.
And different and whatever. So very early on, I learned that that was a good thing, because I would look at the person saying it to me and be like, "This person is so lame."
Yeah, they're just unbelievably boring.
Yeah. And also, like, clearly, like, threatened by, like, when I was little, I would just say whatever the fuck came to my mind, or I would, like, play games and do shit by myself. And I never really thought that much about being seen doing it. I would just do things. And then when people, of course, you get a little older, especially girls, and they start, you're so weird, or you're whatever. Uh-huh. And then I would just be like, good.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Good.
Well, it's funny that, like, people call interesting people weird because,
and or this is funny, a little, instead of when you're funny as a kid and someone yes. laughs and then they go, oh man, you're so weird.
Right.
And I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
I always thought I had to turn that into a not negative word myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by it because it's like, if you really, I'm not trying to get too annoying here, but like, if you really look at what life is and the fact that we're animals on this planet and we're like bizarre creatures with hair everywhere, especially in between our eyebrows, and it sucks.
Me. I get away.
Everyone is so weird. Like, anyone, even just attempting to be normal when you don't feel normal is weird. Like, everyone
yes.
is so unbelievably bizarre. Like, normal people that do the same thing, it's weird. Like, whenever I see, what is it, a school of fish act in unison, I'm like, you guys are fucking weird. You know what I mean?
Oh, I thought you meant the band. The band.
Actually, you know what? They're kind of fucking weird, too. It's like, how do they have the energy to jam for 4 hours? And they just took one mushroom?
They just
like,
won't stop touring?
Yeah,
how
Jesus
do they do it?
Christ. My mother texted me one time when she lived in New York, and she's like, Jakey, do you know a band led by a singer named Trey? And I'm like, do you mean Trey Anastasio of Fish? And she's like, yes. And I was like, well, I don't really listen to him, but yes, they're very famous. And she's like, well, I'm in the Apple store with him right now, and he's actually really nice. Oh, that's... I was like, I bet he is. That he has is. A really good life.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
And you know, she said to him, oh, hold on, let me text my son. I know he's going to know who you are. Let me text my son, Jake.
Yeah.
That was one of the, when you go to college, you learn a lot. Of course, but I was sheltered from Fish my entire life. I had never heard of the band. All of a sudden, I move into the dorms, and every single door had a Fish sticker. And I'm like, why did someone hand out stickers in the hallway today? Everyone listened to that band, and I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really not good music.
What I can't relate to, and I haven't honestly listened to a lot of Fish in my life, but what I can't really relate to is people who truly have that much fun. Like they're just having so much fun. And not that it's bad. It's just like, wow, you really let go.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, you let go and you have a great time and you don't seem that self-conscious. And I'm a little just like, oh, we're different. Like, we're just totally different
people.
It's
the opposite of comedy. Comedy is you sit there, analyze everything. You're trying to pull every single thing apart. What they're doing is the exact opposite of, like, let it all go into a blur and do whatever you want. Where that's so non-analytical and non-critical that, like, for someone like me, that makes me so uncomfortable.
You know what? That is a perfect articulation of what... That is exactly
Thanks.
What's going on.
Is
and
this
that helped
peak
me.
Podcasting, do you think?
Yeah, I think
Did
it
we
is.
Just hit
I think
it?
You're going to help a lot of people realize why they don't think Fish is good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I could just handle them all trying to play the same song at the same time. Not
Do they combine songs?
It sounds like they're all have earplugs and they're just doing their own thing. And they were given an instrument. And sometimes it matches up. And usually it doesn't, but hey, they're smiling.
Listen, I brought this up in the first place. I've never heard a Fish song in my life.
One of them's about a lawnmower, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot Actually, of references to lawnmowers.
I don't mind that. I wish some songs were like more about like my shoe doesn't fit. You know, like yeah. oh shit, I gotta get new shoes. Like,
I guarantee they have some shoe songs.
Steven, could you please take a picture of that truck full of corn?
Oh, there's so much corn.
Thank you. That is the most corn I think anyone's got from Vons at one time.
You can see on the side of the truck even rubbed up against more corn.
Do you think he went straight into the cornfield and got all that corn?
Yeah, he was just looking to
hit. It's my corn.
Yeah. I don't care about hit and run a scarecrow.
I bet you that is straight up farm fresh corn.
It is probably. Is that fresh corn? We're podcasting.
What do you think about Fish? Do you like Fish?
And sometimes do people look at your truck and think it's plantains at first? Because I did. Bye. They're leaving.
Well, they're like, I told you we were going to get harassed because of all this corn.
I like that truck of Miz.
Oh, yeah, here's Chinatown.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of dragons.
So what was it like living down here? Just kind of dull?
It was just kind of dull. It was not, like, the Chinese food was okay. Like, it wasn't necessarily outstanding. I feel like this is kind of a cliche, but there's not a ton of good Chinese food in L.A., which is a shame because I grew up in New York where it was really good.
Where it's amazing everywhere.
Yeah, but it's not that great here. So it was just kind of, you know, just very kind of boring. Right in the tail end of me living there was when it started to become an arts district or people were attempting to make it cool. Like, I feel like people attempt to make places that are explicitly not cool the new cool place because no one's going there. So people were trying, but I wasn't having it. I was like, no, it is not cool.
Yes.
It is not cool.
Maybe because Rush Hour 2 was shot here, but that's it.
Was that your show that was in an art gallery in Chinatown? Or was that just...
You mean like shooting in an art gallery in Chinatown?
No.
There was a stand-up show.
Whose was that? I did that.
And it was very short-lived.
Oh, yeah, I did. I feel like I've done that show. We might have even been on that show together, but I don't think I had a show there. You know what's weird about comedy? I have run so many shows and don't remember any of them. I ran a show at USC for a while that I completely forgot about a year of my life.
Did you do it in the commissary or like the...
I did it in sort of, there was like an auditorium sort of situation that seven people came to and like Gerard Carmichael was on it. Like really famous people were on it. Seven people came. Like, so comedy is just full of, we have done so many shows together where there's six people there at most, and that's a good show, you know?
And can I tell you that I used to run a show at UCLA in the cafeteria.
I feel left out. I've never run a show at a college before.
Now listen, we can get you over to, there's a college in Burbank right by the hills.
You're pushing Burbank so hard. I feel like you're getting paid off by Burbank.
Venice has everything Burbank has. I'm far away from everyone, and there are neighborhood places to eat. So there you go. And the ocean, need it?
You know what's weird about the driving?
Ocean? No, I don't.
What's weird
it.
About the ocean is it isn't real. Everyone thinks it's real, and I know it's fake. It's
when just you go up and touch it, it's actually a screen.
It's a screen.
It's a wet moon landing, fabricated.
Well, I'm just driving around with you guys, and I'm just, because I'm not driving, I'm having the sensation of LA,
car sickness. Or,
of I'm peeing, and it's not warm enough. What's weird is when you drive around LA. And I guess maybe this is anyone in any city, but it's striking me right now that LA is just, I'm thinking of it of all the failed first dates I've had. I had a failed one there. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that person. I've been in that apartment. That was bad.
Oh, date, I just couldn't find parking.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, wow, you really, even though it never feels like you're doing anything with your life, you do so much.
You do so
the
much.
Years accrue.
And a lot of it hurts you. Like, it's
so painful.
There's a lot of ghosts. I mean, I've lived here for over 20 years.
Yeah.
So there's parts of this town I can't go to.
Yes.
Oh, I just realized that's why I don't remember a lot of stand-up sets or jokes or things I say on podcasts is because comedy hurts me.
It hurts you.
There's too many times where you feel bad, so you gotta forget it, and along with that are the good times.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's a shame.
You are so vulnerable when you do stand-up comedy.
Oh, my God.
And your feelings get hurt even when it goes the best it can go.
I feel like that's especially when you get hurt because what's so weird about comedy, and this has been articulated before, but as well as you do, the next time you do it can't be as good.
No.
So then you suck.
Yes.
And it's just...
And then you suck forever.
my special taping went very well, and I knew it went well, and I immediately felt terrible after it, and I've also been having nightmares about things that actually happened during it. And it went well.
Yeah, it's just built for... I mean, I feel like so much of life in comedy is like a vessel for this, is that if you set expectations high ever, you're kind of fucked.
Yes.
Like, you can't... Because humans just sort of then get to a new level, and then not matching up to it is really stressful and makes you feel bad and like something's wrong.
But you don't appreciate the new level. You don't sit there going, look at this great accomplishment. You go... This is fucked. Here's all the ways it's fucked. I can't do this. I'm a fraud. It all comes back to that fraud
shit. I'm glad that I had good parents who cared about me because they taught me early on to keep my expectations low. And I think that's important. Yeah. Like, don't get too excited about this. Yeah, hope is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, Barack Obama's message of hope destroyed a generation.
It ruined this country.
Yeah, it really did.
I like the posters.
Do you?
I'm a shepherd fairy head.
There, that PETA Empathy Center.
Yeah.
Used to be a skateboarder's art gallery. If we're just talking about things that used to be around that are giving us memories. And I went to an opening there, and it was one of those things where, for me, a skateboarder's art gallery opening, I'm like, this is it. This is all I want to do. This is the coolest. And I felt like I didn't have pants on the whole time. It was like, I felt like everyone knew I shouldn't have been there. And it was so uncomfortable and weird. And that's like one of the many, why did I try? Why did I think that was going to be good?
Yeah, I definitely experienced that.
Try being 43 and actually going to skate parks and being the old.
And you're like, look at my new hip.
And look at that kid. They're doing something that I've tried for 25 years to do. He's been skateboarding for 4 years and does it better than me with more style. And guys, don't get me started.
But then it's like, it's funny because I think about it in terms of, I got off Instagram recently because, or like my personal account, because I got a little too sad, and not at what I think a lot of people get sad at, is that I will see the young sort of like influencers or young hot people, and I get sad because they don't know how much pain is coming. I feel so bad for the gorgeous people who have a million followers, because in 5 years, yes, it's all just, I don't look as good as I used to. This angle isn't covering it like it used to. Like, it's just, yes, the fall from grace they're going, yeah, to have.
And it's because it's so surface. I love her and she's so nice, anything.
Yeah, I feel bad that they feel they have to be this way.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
I still feel bad about the complete, and it's an amazing, the 180 that I pulled emotionally from being, hating Vine famous people to feeling bad for them once that was taken away from them.
Oh, it's devastating.
It was off, there was really, people that had a lot of people paying attention to them just on that.
And it's like someone's injecting you with a ton of fucking drugs, and the drugs are expectations, and then all of a sudden no one gives a shit about it anymore, and they all make fun of you for ever thinking you were hot shit.
Yes.
I feel bad for them, and then I follow them. They try to redo it on Instagram, and it's not happening. Mm-hmm. There's this little hilarious girl, her mom's always got a camera on her. Ava, that's something. Ava's her name, but she's the funniest kid ever. So funny, like a child. I know that we don't think children are funny, but man. And now she's growing up, and now it's just an Instagram account, and there's not many followers. Oh, it makes me really sad.
Yeah,
I don't know why it makes me sad, because that kid had so much hope. When she's like, we are going to be famous
forever.
I think they probably still pay the bills.
As if fame isn't the worst thing ever. The three of us like come out here and you need some sort of quote unquote fame in order to sustain your career.
Right.
Because essentially you just want to transfer it to power,
yes,
or agency.
Yes.
But like, as if anything beyond agency creatively is the worst experience a human can have, yeah, besides like, I don't know, famine. But regardless, such a nightmare, so obviously. The idea of wanting that is such a sickness. It's so upsetting.
Well, because it's made up. They want a thing that isn't the thing they're asking for. That's the problem, is people, it's like the American Idol idea of like, I'm going to get out there, and then it's a meritocracy. And you know, it's about talent, and this, and it's about that, and it's just like, you have no idea.
It's so not. No, it's just a business. Yeah. It's like a business that doesn't, it's a sociopathic business that doesn't care about you.
And if comics are dumb, then the people that run the business are brain dead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. What do you, okay, here's a question. Oh, two things. Whenever you drop me off, and I'm having a blast, so thank you for picking me up.
No, we're heading up. I just wanted to,
drop me off at Matt's?
Oh, sure.
And I can send you there.
Writing a new episode?
No, I just want to go hang out with him. We made a show together, and I'm legally have to hang out with him every day to generate more story ideas.
Trust me, you can't get enough.
There's Matt in the road with hoses.
The other question I had was, because I try to think about this too, what does make you, like, because I think almost everything makes me feel bad, but what what actually consistently makes you, like, feel pretty good?
Good question.
Yes, it is. Oh, God, and it's real scary when you don't have an immediate answer.
Well, for me, one of them is my cats. I do love them, and they're like a source of joy for me, and it's always a good thing. It's like, I feel like they are, like, every time I see them, I'm just so psyched, and I can't believe I have that kind of love in my life. Like, I can't, I'm like, oh my God, every single time, like, they don't do, they're dumb as shit. Like, my cats are particularly dumb. Like, my cats are dumb cats, but I find them riveting, and I feel like that is so incredible I have that.
You know what's funny you asked that question, because my therapist actually just made me start doing an exercise, and she said, pick a friend, and before she finished the sentence, I was like, Lizzie Cooperman. Like, I know exactly who will do this with me, judgment-free. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know. That girl was really mad at me because I went. So basically, we have to send each other five things that it's like a gratitude list, but as opposed to I'm grateful for, which is very like I'm supposed to feel this way, it's five things that actually made you feel happiness.
Yes.
So as small or big as they are, when you had the emotion and a hit of happiness, you have to write it down.
So even if it's like when someone I don't like was in pain visibly, like that counts, right?
If you got the feeling, then you have to write
it
down.
That's great.
And it's really interesting because it's like you're saying, it's as small as that, where my dog George gets a weird person smile on her face when I come in the door.
Oh, I've seen it.
Does that thing where her head goes down and she smiles. And it's like the cutest thing of all time.
Yeah.
And then there's other things where suddenly I go, oh yeah, this makes me feel good. I should be doing it all the time. And right. I don't do it just because, you know, I don't acknowledge the importance of happiness, I guess.
Because it's a weird thing about happiness is that you can exist without it, and most people do, but it's like, and you'll die and it won't matter, you know what I mean, that you were happy, but it's super nice when you're having a period where you're like, God, I feel good, and I definitely am lucky that I'm alive right now. Right, it's like, holy shit.
And it's not a consistent, I think a lot of people, because it's not this long, static line of happiness, they go, then I have depression or something's wrong with me. It's not that. You just get little hits all day, and you go back to neutral, and that's just kind of like the best we can do.
That's the best
you can do.
Do you guys read fiction a lot?
No, and it's something I feel guilty about, and I want to start. Well, I probably will today.
What I would implore you.
You're going to start today.
Yeah.
I understand it's one of those things that people feel guilty about, of course, because it's a thing you feel you should be doing, but I actually find that it is quite meditative in a way, and it's one of those things that,
like, this woman's walking, that's my new meditation.
Slow and
slow,
devastating,
almost slowing to a stop.
What if right now she's thinking about murder?
Hi, friend. Then I'd say hi, friend.
Yeah. I think that it's been very helpful for me in the sense that I feel like TV is a little difficult to get into because you know people on TV, and if you've made TV ever, you're just thinking about how it's edited. But then also, if you're on your computer watching it, you're always checking the internet, and that sucks. Obviously, that's devastating. But I think fiction is good because I think we all forget how good it feels.
Yeah.
Because it is the only thing that is truly transformative, because you're creating the world yourself.
That's
in your head. And I would say that it has made me a lot happier because I like talking. When I read a book, I actually do like myself. Like, I like, oh, look, I read a book and now I can talk to someone else about the book.
Yeah.
And I can feel amazing. So I would recommend. And also the library, I want to say this. I guess I'm trying to preach this.
The
library, I think, is one of the most underutilized and underappreciated things in the world. And I think it's that in public parks are maybe the only signs.
Except by the homeless, yeah.
But it helps. Right, that's true. They utilize it. But that's another beautiful thing about it. It's a place for homeless people to go during the day.
Yeah, I do. The one in Venice is always used.
Oh, everywhere, everyone.
Email,
yeah.
And that's how
but
they
it's
keep
you
in touch
can get any book for free. You can get audiobooks, you can get movies for free, and it's literally like, it's like free candy almost. It's like, and people don't use it. When I say I have a library card, people are like, why? And it's like, because it's like, it's a true sign of beauty in the world, and there's almost nothing like it.
Yeah.
I like the library coming up, the Los Feliz. Like,
the one that that Leo DiCaprio built?
Did he?
Yeah.
That's the library Leo built?
That's his library.
He actually lives in the back.
I noticed that.
He runs it. He's the manager.
Yeah.
But he used to live in that neighborhood, and when he was growing up, there was no library, and he was a single parent kid. So
I think he was.
Went to the library a lot, And so when he had enough money, he built a library for kids in that neighborhood.
Oh, that's the coolest.
Yeah, it made me like him.
Yeah, I gotta tell my dad that story. He really has it out for Leo DiCaprio.
Why?
He hates him, I don't know why. My dad makes me happy. I thought of one. I like visiting him.
That's cool.
But he just doesn't like his movie, never thought he was good. I'm like, what about Gilbert Grape? What about The Revenant?
What about The Aviator?
He's good in Fear as well. Isn't he in Fear with Wahlberg, or is that just Wahlberg?
No, he's just Wahlberg.
Oh, no, Basketball. Sorry, Basketball Diaries.
Yeah,
you're thinking of Basketball.
I'm thinking of Basketball. Yes. Fear Diaries.
Yes. I love mashups. I like the guy. My dad wants to fist fight him.
Wow.
I don't know.
You know what's funny? My dad feels that way about the guy that runs the men's warehouse.
Oh, yeah, I don't like him either.
Who is that guy?
You're going to like the way you look, guy? Every time that commercial's on, my dad gets so mad.
There's no one more smug and terrible than that guy. Yeah.
I think my dad's jealous. He's jealous of his millions. Probably.
Yeah. There's a lot. I spend a lot of time not liking the Can You Hear Me Now guy that used to work for whatever cell phone
Everyone
company.
Is furious about his defection.
Another one!
Look at that. Look at all these
corporate
billboards.
It's so weird, man.
I love it.
It's the best. Look at you.
I just love that it's everywhere.
It is so bizarre. I always think about the people that walk by who are like, fuck that guy. You know what I mean? I wish I could think about like the people who are like, oh, I want to see that show. Who are like, that fucking
I don't like us.
I saw him do stand-up at a Chinese restaurant once, and he sucked.
No, they're just looking at it thinking, I don't like when everyone has their mouths open. Yeah. I hate fists in the air.
Is there any corporate plugging or updates or anything for this new season that you want to tell
us about? It's so funny. The screening was... It's such a good show that it's even better than the last season.
Oh,
I was really,
thanks,
really very much enjoying it.
I will plug it a little. Chris Fairbanks is on it. So is Lizzie Cooperman. Cooperman is on Corporate this year.
Beautiful.
As well as many other comedians we like. It's Tuesdays at 10:30 p.m. And I think it's a good show. And please watch it live
Comedy
so we get
Central.
To do it again, because it's all about ratings, even though no one watches anything live anymore.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good, funny show. And if you like darkness and lightness combined and you want to feel seen, please watch Corporate Tuesdays at 10:30 on Comedy Central.
Yeah. Now, do it's you so think good. That if... I just realized this, because I don't TiVo it. I just try to find it.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think if I have it programmed, that counts?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to do that right away.
You are doing so much for me. Don't worry about it. You don't need to do any more for me in your lifetime. In fact, you could kill me and I'd be like, we're even. I know. By the way, there's this gorilla bullshit graffiti. It's living in a constant daydream. And then there's like, it's bullshit on another garage door. It's like, love is the eternal drug.
Psycho style.
And it's like, fuck you.
Shut up. You just ruined someone's garage.
Yeah.
You paint that now because of your
but
art.
But Matt and I were walking by that the other night. And we're like, that's just guerrilla market. I feel like I'm so cynical.
Now
it's like, save the planet. It's like, fuck you.
They did the whole street.
Yeah, that's a little crazy. Church, they wrote on a Buddhist church sign.
Yeah,
it's just maybe it's the John McCain couple.
Here's the thing about John McCain. When he was young, he was pretty hot.
Yes, he was.
He was a real hot guy.
And
no one talks about it enough.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. That's what matters.
He had that real, he had a real sharp chin.
Yeah, God, he was so hot.
He was hot piece.
May he rest in that piece.
Wait, did I do this wrong?
If you go up and to the right, he's on, I guess I won't say where he's at, but if we turn right soon,
and then right
we'll
again.
Be there. Yeah, I think we'll be there. And thank you guys so much. This was such a blast.
You were terrific.
Yes, Jake.
And Karen, I haven't seen you in like a year or two, but I've been following everything and I'm thrilled.
I'm thrilled to see you. I would love to see you more.
Ditto. And Chris, it's been nice to see you. One more. Oh, and also, Karen, I just want to remind you. I forget what inside joke it was, but in my phone, I have you as Karen fucking Kilgariff. So that's how you pop up the times we text once or twice a year is Karen fucking Kilgariff, and that is a weird thing.
Yeah, it adds so much power to a name.
I really like it.
Yeah, I do too. Can you put me in as Chris fucking Fairbanks?
Yeah, I will. Or just fucking Chris Fairbanks.
Yes,
that flows better.
Yeah.
Anywhere
and
here would be
great. And has
double
meaning in case we ever make love.
We will.
You won't know what's happening, but we will.
It will be hate for you, but love for me. And thank you guys. This was a blast.
Yes,
and
so good.
It was so nice to see you. And thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Good to see you as well.
Oh, do you have any plugs? We'll just wrap it up.
Oh, I'd like to thank Constant Designer, Ashley Lane. She did that animated GIF or GIF of us in your dream Volvo. that is now available in sticker form, and it looks beautiful. And the most important thing about it is 100% of the proceeds go to Alzheimer's research.
Yeah, that's it makes me so happy.
Ashley pitched it, and I was like, of course. And
thank you so much, Ashley. We love the GIF was amazing. The idea of making a sticker out of it is amazing. And then the fact that people can get that and it goes towards something that we all care about.
And within like 12 hours, $1,000 of them were sold. So thank you guys for helping with the disease that is close to Karen and my brains.
Yes, very
and hearts.
It's right on it, actually. Yes. Buy those. And
Hopefully not.
And then I think we're talking about coming out with a shirt design of the same design.
Yes.
A shirt of the same design.
Yes. All of our merch is soon to come out.
Get ready.
Get ready for it. Oh, it's going to be on your body.
All right. Well, this has been Do You Need a Ride?
D-Y-N.
A-R.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.